Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We need to have the clap. Right, 3, 2, 1.
We need to have the clap.
Look, nobody was paying attention there. Hello, we are back. It's been nearly a week since we did our last podcast, but we are back again with Ready Player 2, and this is episode 88. Did I get it right?
Yeah.
I did. This week, I'm mostly going to be talking about Apex Legends, but we've got other people here, luckily, who are going to be talking about some other stuff. With me today, I have got Mr. Ross for Bellbag.
Ali.
Miss Egg.
Oh, goddamn you.
That's not going away. Mr. Lewis Knight.
Hello.
Hello.
Do you really need to introduce us all? Like, people
yes.
can see.
But people being... who are listening to the primarily audio component of the podcast can't see you. It being an audio-only medium.
They can use
so
their
stop
brains.
Stop throwing up gang symbols. So, so for those of you who are listening back to this on some kind of Luddite podcast platform, like iTunes or, I don't know, Acast or whatever the hell you use to consume podcasts, we are live streaming this right now, which we have done for the last now two podcasts on Twitch. We weren't 100% sure how this was going to go, but it went pretty well last week, and loads of people spoke to us and interrupted the podcast. And it's really good because I am not particularly dynamic, and I tend to get things wrong a lot. And having the increased and intense pressure of people watching me constantly can only improve me.
Constant supervision is the only way you'll learn.
Yeah, I need adult supervision. Right, so we're all here and we've got stuff to talk about. I hope we've got stuff to talk about. And I actually do have stuff to talk about that isn't Apex Legends, which I'm proud of myself for this. Right, look, has anybody got anything new to talk about this week? Anything brand new and exciting?
Yes.
Metro Exodus.
Okay,
don't just shout it out, Ross. You've given it away. I was going to go to Lewis, but now we've got to talk about
it. I haven't played it.
Jesus Christ. You haven't played it? Okay, look, I'm going to go to you now because you've put your foot in it. Go on then. So you've got and presumably have at least looked at Metro Exodus.
I have. I've put about 3 hours into it so far.
Oh, that's not bad.
Pretty good. Yeah, it's completely different to the thing we played at Eurogamer. It's I think that was kind of halfway through the game, the bit we got dropped into playing.
Yeah, it was.
So So it's good then.
Not a fan of that bit, really.
Lewis spent a lot of time trying to dick with me while we were playing on that.
Yeah, it is really good. If it kind of follows on from the story of the first two games, where you're in Russia, the world has seemingly ended because of nuclear attacks, but you find out at the start of this one that there are other people around the world, and they're kind of trying to contact other groups of survivors scattered around the world, and you're kind of on your mission to meet up with them. I think that's as far as I've got so far. I'm out of Russia basically so far.
Okay, you're out of Russia.
Out of Moscow, sorry.
Okay, fine.
It's a big country.
So, okay, look, you're out of Russia. Because the previous Metro games, basically, the world is, like, A-grade fucked. And you are, you're, like, double A-grade fucked. Because not only is the world fucked, but you're in Russia. Which, pretty much, like, you're double fucked in that instance.
It's cold.
And everybody has, like, legged it into the metros, the underground railway, the subways, to try and survive. And that's where the previous games have been set. And in this one... Yeah. You get communications from outside of Russia, and everybody there thought that everybody outside of Russia was, like, well pre-dead. And then they realised that actually they're not the only people.
That was a pretty good summation of the game, Ross. Thanks.
No, but I'm just leading into it. I'm leading... He said that before, and then there was some technical difficulty, so I'm leading back into it. All right, look. So, is it good?
Yes, it's good. Coming off of playing Apex a lot, it's a... whole different pace of shooter. It's really quite slow, and you've got to do quite a lot of stealth work, which is not what I've been used to playing predominantly Apex and like Call of Duty before that. It's very, very different from them. It's not twitchy at all. It's slow and steady, but yeah, it's nice. It feels good. It looks amazing. The voice acting is appalling.
Really?
Yeah. Some of the character models, they're not quite... I mean, I expect better on... Well, the generations that we're on now for, like, syncing up mouse
to
voices.
Is, when we played this at EGX, I thought they looked freaking gorgeous. And we were playing it on an Xbox One X. And I said before, when we were talking about it after EGX, if you'd have told me that was playing on a high-end PC, I would have believed you, because it looked so good. And it's like, I'm guessing it's exactly the same? Or was that, like, a perfect part of the game to be playing that was just excellent?
I think the part of the game we played at Eurogamer was showed off a lot of, like, the world.
Right.
Because when you start the game, you're just in the tunnels, you're in the metro, you're kind of in the darkness, and once you get out into it, the second level, I suppose, is on a train, and it's really bright, and the draw distances look great, the scenery is brilliant. It looks very nice. It's very, very slow-paced, though, and that's kind of what's not putting me off, but is kind of taking some adjustment at the minute.
But the slow pace is kind of... That's a Metro hallmark, right? I mean, they were never particularly fast-paced, were they?
No, they're not quick, no. It's just a problem I can't play it when my daughter's around, because there's lots of monsters and lots of swearing.
Yep. There's a lot of stealth in this one. Now, I only played one of the Metro games, and there was some stealth in it, and it almost played a little bit like a military simulator, the one that I played. But this one is like mega stealth. The section that we played at EGX... It feels like they kind of want you to be stealthy all the time. Can you break that? Can you kind of do whatever you want, or are you forced to be stealthy?
No, you can go one or two ways. You can just go all guns blazing, or you can kind of stealth around. Ammo is in fairly short supply, so it kind of does encourage you to go the stealth way.
Okay. Yeah. Fallout or not Fallout? So how much of a fan of... How much... Because, like, this is all... The Metro games have always kind of like reminded me of Fallout, right?
Yeah.
They're kind of like Fallout in Russia.
Same kind of world, yeah.
Yeah, everything's fucked, but it's Russia. Instead of everything's fucked, but it's America.
I thought they were the Metro games were quite linear.
Yes, they're based off of novels, aren't they? Well,
yeah.
Are they?
Some Russian fella, yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, they're based off a series of the Metro series of novels.
This is why we put educational on our tag.
Educational? There you go.
Well, I learned something.
So the Witcher series, apparently.
Oh, are they? I didn't know that either. I don't know. I know he likes a bath. That's basically all I know about the Witcher.
The other two Metro games, I played them to completion. I'm a big fan of the series, and yeah, I think I'll play this one through. It's just it's taking some adjustment from coming off of a fast-paced, twitchy kind of shooter. Where
coming from Apex. Yeah. See, I did the same thing because I've gone to play Division. Spoiler alert. I want to slide everywhere. So I'll get into combat and I'll be like, fuck this, I'm going to slide down this hill. That's not even doing the same thing. And then I'll just duck behind cover. Actually, because the control button is slide on Apex, right? And on Division 2, the control button is climb on top of whatever you're in front of. So basically, instead of going, fuck this, I'm off, and sliding away, what you actually do is stand up on top of a great big block with your dick out going, this has gone wrong.
Dinner time, lads!
Everybody shoots the crap out of you.
Just standing around on people.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. All right, look. So is this slow pace is different because you've been playing Apex a lot. How does it feel in comparison to the other Metro games? Does it feel like a worthy successor, or is it just a bit different?
Yeah, it feels like the natural kind of succession, because you couldn't have done another game just in the Metro system, just fighting off the monsters. You had to go out into the world and expand it. And yeah, it feels good. It feels like a natural successor.
Good. I want to play it. I do want to play it. And you know what? The only thing that's putting me off playing it is I want it to be co-op. And possibly I shouldn't be, but I want it to be co-op. It feels like the kind of game that I really want to experience with somebody else. And like Fallout, I've always wanted to play Fallout or Skyrim with somebody else. And, like, not a rando. Like, not somebody... like, not somebody... Like, just not a, I'm not pugging my apocalypse. I need to know who I'm with. But that's kind of put me off. A bit. I wanted to do that, and I'm going to wait till
this
comes out.
It's full on single player. This is
fully single player.
But although you are the entire time you're playing, what I've played so far, you're with a companion, which could have easily been a human being controlling that person.
A human being person. Okay.
All right. Them people.
Is there anything that you want to particularly say about Metro? We're going to wait till you played it a bit more, because 3 hours for a game that's as vast as this is not that much time, is it?
No, I haven't gone too far into it just yet. So yeah, next week, hopefully, I'll play some more.
Sweet. All right, brilliant. We're going to move away from Ross and his Russian apocalypse and move towards somebody else. Lewis, you said you had something to talk about this week, something new and shiny and excellent and amazing, right? I mean, I didn't want to big it up too much if I led into that too hard. Like setting expectations at a bar that you can't reach.
Obviously, at... we've spoken about it quite a lot. We played it at EGX. All of us played it at EGX. Earlier this week, Rich and I played TikTok A Tale for Two all the way through.
I like a story that I'm involved in.
And it was actually really good fun.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know really why I said it. Actually, because we kind of knew it was going to be
no,
good fun.
No, do you know what? I think actually is a sensible thing to put there, because this is a small studio. This is essentially two people, right? These I can't remember their names. I'm terrible. Tanya and Mira from somewhere.
Other games?
No, I was going to say the country they were. From other games. Anyway. But anyway, they're from somewhere foreign. And so they made this, and we played the demo at EGX, and we kind of liked it. And then we played the beta again, which was essentially the EGX demo that we played a little bit later on. And it's like, well, there's no real replayability there. So the risk there is that the game, they showed off like the best of the game, right? At EGX, it could have been that they showed the best parts of the game, and the rest of it is just not quite as good as that, or not as polished, or not as well put together, or whatever it happens to be. Because they only betaed that particular part of it. As it turned out, I thought it was well-rounded all the way through. In fact, if anything, I thought that it got better in the later chapters.
Yeah.
Agreed. So it's fair to say, you know, it could have been not great. It could have been. Yeah, it's an indie game. It's not by a particularly well-known group of people. It could have been not great. And we'd say if it was, but honestly, you paid what for this? Because you bought me a copy as well.
What are we on? Oh, so it's actually finished now, and it definitely would have finished by the time this episode comes out in 2 years.
The last amount in 2 days, you cheeky fucker.
So they were doing a deal for the first week of release that if you bought a copy on Steam, you got another copy for free. So I think I paid $4.99 for two copies of the game. And
that's pretty good.
$4.99 normally.
£2.50 per person for a copy of this game. And there was 3 hours worth of gameplay there-ish?
Give
or take.
I mean, we blasted through the first chapter because we'd done it already at EGX, so that kind of cut a bunch of the time down.
Yeah, while I watched your stream, the time definitely dipped after that.
Yeah, it was definitely kind of... there was an upward trend as far as time was concerned after that. But yeah.
There was also an upward trend of stress levels towards the end of the game.
Yeah, it was
you
getting
could
in
just
that...
say difficulty goes up as you progress through the game.
That's it.
Well, do you know what? Actually, I thought that the difficulty was just right. Like, just right. And also, the way that it tailored... The puzzles were really nice. Like, they weren't... I'm good at certain types of puzzles. And I pick... certain things I pick up quite quickly. Other things fucking straight over my head because I'm just not paying attention to them, or I read it too quick, or whatever it happens to be. And I thought that it was perfect because you've got two people, and I guess it depends on which two people you get, but in this instance, me and Lewis... he was seeing things that I wasn't seeing.
So, and I think and bottom end.
No, that's not where I was going.
Depending on where you want to look at that.
The perceptions and the way that we were looking at things were different. So every now and again, Lewis would go, maybe this. And I was like, I didn't even look at that in that particular way, whatever it happened to be. And we worked it out, and it was great. The great thing about this game, the really nice thing, is... and I don't know why I was surprised by this... However, it's also slightly its biggest flaw, or the biggest drawback to this game. There is no replayability to this game at all. There is no randomization. No. There is no difference in any of the puzzles, apart from one. There is one puzzle that kind of... you push go, and you're both supposed to push go at the same time, and then it kind of moves these things around on the screen. Now, the actual answers are the same every time, but they're in different positions, so it's not always easy to tell. So it's like a combination lock, so you've got to push crow, then snake, then something else, then something else, then something else. Now, if you can memorize it, and it's like a 18-position code, so you're not going to memorize it.
Is
but
that the one with the three lines?
Yes, that was it, yes. Yeah, and it moved around, we had to push it in the right order.
For the old-school puzzle gamers, if you've got your notebook by the side.
Well,
first thing, I actually memorized it to probably about 14 or 15...
Yeah, you got really far through. I can't do that.
And Rich was like, no, we don't need to memorise it, we'll just work through it. And I was like, no, yeah, but I've memorised most of it. And he was like,
I couldn't.
And I was like, right, okay, well, let me write it down. No, we'll work through it. And I was like, fine, okay, yeah, let's play the game how it's supposed to be played. Fine. You're going to be like that about
if,
it.
If you're going to force me to. The problem with this, so the great thing about the game is that you don't have to have a network connection to the other person at all. There is no net code in this game. It doesn't work through Steam. It doesn't work through anything else. Literally, you both launch the game at the same time, and because the puzzles are always the same and they never change, all you need is a phone call, or you could even be in the same room, but you don't show each other your screen. And you just talk to each other and you explain what you can see on your screen and they explain what they can see on their screen and you work through the puzzles. It is brilliant. It's almost like an escape room where you've got two people in a very similar room and what you can see in your room helps them solve a part of the puzzle in their room. That's essentially what it is. The problem is, because there is no connection, there's no network connection between you, the two people, which, by the way, you can play this thing on like Android, iPad, PC, Casio calculator, any of the platforms, right? because there's no need for you to actually have a network connection to the other end, it doesn't matter, so it's everything's great.
Yeah,
but because there is no network connection, there is no randomization to any of the puzzles within the game. There's no way that your game can go, okay, here's what I've done, I've put this item here, and therefore you need to give the right clues so that they know that where that item is or whatever it happens to be. What the game really could have done with, in my opinion, is a code. So when you go to like player one, you hit player one and it goes, okay, it generates like a seed code, like a 6-digit code or something, right? And then player two enters that code in their game when they go to start, and it uses that as the RNG, that as the random generator, so that the puzzles have been randomly shuffled. Yeah, so that you've all got something. So you're playing the game differently every time you play it. All right, it doesn't have to be a massive amount of variance, but some of the puzzles are like almost like a combination lock. So yeah. Position one is on, position two is off, position three is off, position four is on, and that could be different every time.
Yeah.
But you need that code for it to identify where those are, so you can work it out. It's a great game. The graphics and art style is really, really nice.
Yeah.
The way that it gets you to read things to each other is really good. I don't know, the mechanisms, I wasn't massively on board. What did you think of the way that we discovered certain things, Lewis? Because a lot of the time you were just clicking, weren't you? You were just randomly clicking around the screen.
Yeah, it was sort of a cross between a puzzle game and just a like point and click adventure. You kind of click on everything and see what it does.
Yeah.
And I mean, it did throw in some red herrings, and like you could click on something and it would move, or you click on something else that you actually needed to interact with, but it would react like everything else. So you're like, oh, okay, well, that doesn't do anything, so I'll carry on. And then what you realize is you have to click it more times, or you have to interact with it more times for it to do what you need it to do.
Yeah, there was like a barrel that you clicked on once, didn't do anything, but you clicked on it four or five times and it started to break apart.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, yeah, that's the example. But in that same room, like, there were a couple of plant pots and jars that you could move about, and I was like, well, what do I do now? Do I need to move the jars, or...
Yeah.
Or, like, what's happening here?
See, I felt the whole thing... So with all of that, I felt it a little bit arbitrary, because it was kind of like... I'm in, like, this cellar, and I'm clicking on stuff, and every now and again I'll click on something, and then a load of words will pop out of it.
Just fall out of it.
But it doesn't... That didn't make a lot of sense to me. Like, I clicked on a rope, and the rope would unravel and come down, and a string of words would come off the rope. And I'm thinking, but that doesn't... Like, how does that fit into the I don't really get it. The idea behind the game, which I'm not going to give away the ending, but the idea behind the game is all surrounding kind of time and this interaction between these two people, Lurk and... I can't remember the other person's name. It was a girl's name, wasn't it?
Amelie.
Lurk and Amelie. Yeah. And these two people are like having this kind of conversation through letters and various pieces of stuff that you find in the game. Only sometimes it's a letter, and it gives you a letter, and you read the letter, and it's kind of cool, and you can unravel a little bit more of what the story is. And then other times you'll click on a jar, and a load of words will spring out of the jar, and you're there going, what?
Yeah.
What's that all about? Why did that happen? That doesn't make any sense.
It kind of felt like a puzzle game, but with... what's the film where they put... is it The Notebook or The Boathouse, where they're communicating across time?
I know which one that you're talking about. It is the one where they put the letters in the letterbox.
In the postbox, yeah.
Keanu Reeves.
Oh. Yeah. It kind of felt like that. Like, we were both playing... We were both doing, reliving the same story, but at different time periods.
Yeah. Yeah.
So and there was quite the game, you're trying to kind of put time onto these characters' lives, aren't you? Is that what
you're doing? No, well, you don't really know what the point of the game is originally. And look, I don't want to give it away because there is a point to the end of it.
Oh, now,
one of the things that we thought was a bit glib when we were playing it at EGX is that after you completed the demo that they had at EGX, you'd like spent X amount of time, it went, well done for completing it. You just lost 20 minutes or whatever it happened to be.
Yeah.
And it felt like going, what? Screw you. You're basically
gaming
saying,
pointless.
Yeah, you're basically saying this was pointless. You're wasting your life. Fuck you. Now, in the actual game, that makes a lot more sense. And it isn't that they're saying that at all. It isn't that they're basically chastising you for wasting your life.
Contextually, it makes sense.
It makes sense. But it didn't when you were playing the demo, and I felt like they should have reworded it. And I actually said that to them on the Discord, and they were like, no, it makes sense. So,
right.
Look, long and short of it is a really good, fun 3-hour... I would say short, but do you know what? For £2.50, a 3-hour experience is... I'm happy with that.
Yeah.
I'm happy with that.
It has a similar feel for people who play board games to Time Stories. There's very much a place in the market for puzzle games like this. And that's ridiculously cheap for a couple of hours fun.
Well, do you know what I really like about this is they've got a formula here now that they can expand on this, and they can bring out DLC or maybe another game based on the mechanisms that they put in this game. It almost feels like a technical demo. Yeah, a very good technical demo that results in a complete game. But they expand on this now, and they maybe go further, put the random number generation thing in if they wanted to or something to give it a bit more replayability. But hell, I play 10 hours of this. As long as they varied it up enough, as long as they varied and changed the puzzles and made it different, I didn't feel like any of the puzzles were carbon copy. I didn't feel like I was repeating myself. It was just a great... It was a nice, paced experience. We didn't get angry with each other, which was pretty good.
Well...
I got angry with both of you watching the stream.
I definitely remember thinking that I might just get the train to Leamington and strangle
you. Honestly,
on at least one occasion.
But you probably think that most of the time when we're interacting in some form.
If you've got someone of a different skill level to yourself, you're just like,
what are you saying?
I'm not saying this about you.
I'm feeling good.
The passion is building on both your characters, not one individually.
I mean,
she's assailing both of us, Lewis.
No, I've actually played this demo. I was there when we played it, and I didn't play with either of you.
Oh, I remember this. That was Andrew, wasn't it? Yeah, okay. No, I feel that shaming is well deserved.
Oh, now you're buying into it. But, yeah. Make sure you choose your partner.
For anybody watching or listening, this game is TikTok, A Tale for Two. It is available right now on Steam for sure. I'm pretty sure it's available on both Android and iPad, but somebody will have to check and sanitize that for
me. So it's available on Steam. You can buy it on the Humble Store. You can also get it on... It's not available on Android yet, I don't think. But you can play it on Nintendo Switch.
Oh, you can? Okay, great.
Yes, if you were so inclined.
And it, like we said before, it doesn't matter what platform both of you have it on. You can have one on a Switch and one on PC, or one on Switch and one on Android, or whatever it happens to be. It doesn't make any odds. It's fully cross-play because there's no network connectivity involved at all. Look, TikTok at Alpha 2.
$2.99.
Ross is with his extraordinary blurry camera trying to show us.
Yeah, $2.99 on iOS right now.
There you go.
Okay.
Definitely worth it, definitely worth it. And we were talking possibly about speedrunning this game. The only problem is there's kind of holes in that, because once you know the puzzles, you're just like 2.5 minutes, bang, I'm done.
And you could do it on your own.
Yeah, you wouldn't need two people. So, look, TikTok at Alpha 2, I enjoyed it. I think it's worth buying. For £2.50, if you've got somebody else, you enjoy kind of escape rooms, puzzle games, and you enjoy interacting and working with other people, definitely a game for you to get.
Okay, if you don't want to play it, just watch our stream.
So just to point out, it's currently no longer available on the 2-for-1 offer.
Okay.
But it's still a fiver for three hours plus, depending on your ability.
If you're roughly the same intelligence as me and Lewis, 3 hours. If you are like if you are normal level intelligence, you might get 2 hours. Right then, L-shaped person. You have played the stuff. We require to know what stuff you have played.
Would you like to know the weird games that I've played?
That's the only reason you're on the podcast, Elle.
This is the only reason I'm here. To be fair, this one's not been too weird. So, due to Silent Hill, I've got a weakness for games that start off with a story that revolves around a man trying to deal with the death of his dearly departed wife, trying to bring her back, going to visit whoever is writing letters to him in, under the guise of his wife, that kind of thing. So there's a pixel game on the Switch, which is The Way, which has apparently been remastered. I kind of missed it when it came out in 2006.
You remaster a pixel game?
Yeah, I know,
right? 10 years ago.
Sharp at pixels.
16-bit, that's where it's at.
Yeah, exactly. So it's revolving a scientist man trying to bring back his dead wife. His dead wife.
I've seen this film. This is the worst Batman film they did. This is the one with Arnie in it.
That is an amazing film. Get out.
No, it's not.
What killed the dinosaurs? De-Ice Age. There's so many dad jokes. It's fantastic. It's this really, really lovely platform puzzle pixel game. The pixel art is really, really nice. I know I've been like really arseholish about pixel games in the past, being like, "Oh, it's such cute graphics," just because it's a pixel art game. Scientist man, dead wife, must save dead wife by traveling to.
It's a bit late at this point, isn't it?
Oh, I know. It's like, can you not do that all that effort before? I'm not quite sure how she died, to be fair. But the first part of the game, you basically take her dead body, you dig the grave. You're like, we'll totally take the body and we're gonna revive her.
So you don't even have her body in your possession. You have to dig her up.
You have to grave rob your own wife.
The digging is in a cutscene, so. But yeah,
so it's not like you've got to push X to dig.
Push X to dig wife. I'm growing my own.
I'm expecting a wife tree in 2 or 3 years. Okay.
The wife harvest will be good this year. But enough about the shenanigans. You take your corpse bride and you shove her in a company van. And you go about this. To be honest with you, I don't see why I didn't manage to get a laser gun and just go in gung-ho. But you do this very roundabout way of stealing a spaceship and flying to this alien planet, which you and your wife had been Indiana Jonesing.
This took a turn. What? I feel like maybe
there's a lot of backstory that we've not gotten to yet. So
I was going to say, did I zone out when you started talking about a different game?
I thought that possibly Grand Theft Corpse was the backstory, but now suddenly another planet.
Grave
robbing and spaceship robbing.
A spaceship, and you're like, I'm going to save my wife.
So presumably this is in the future, right? He hasn't just run off to fucking Cape Canaveral and nicked a NASA craft.
No. This is definitely set in the future because they have laser guns. I did state that he had a laser gun.
So you say he could have used a laser gun, but he didn't use a laser gun. I presume that was because laser guns didn't exist.
Not in the beginning, no. But you do steal a laser gun. Woo-hoo! It makes things so much easier. I'm like, why don't you just get one in the first place and just be like, security man, bang, done. Onwards to the next challenge.
Is there like some weird subreddit that you're a member of that's just like mental games?
Maybe
we've spoken about this
one
before, right? Because you must, I think you, I think she's trolling us. No, I'm pretty confident for about 2.5 years she's been making up games.
This is like the longest version of the random name game ever.
Let me.
Oh my god, it's even on the Switch.
There was that one time she played God of War.
That could just be a JPEG, Al. We don't know.
There we go. It is a game.
It's a real and actual game. Okay, so
it's a real and actual game.
Look, let's get to the batshit, because this isn't batshit enough
okay
yet.
So what? To be fair, when you land on this alien planet, there is alien life there, like these giant mosquitoes that try and kill you. But that's not the fucking worst thing. You do all this puzzle stuff and that's fine, but I'm stuck on this giant spider that comes out of the wall and basically tries to chow down on you. And you have to fucking climb the wall to escape this spider? I just don't think the odds are very much in my favour.
No, because that's basically what spiders do, right? That's like 90% of a spider's life.
Their wheelhouse,
is climbing. Yeah, that's straight up their alley, and then you get chomped.
I've tried to stand my ground and laser gun it to death, but that didn't go too well either. So I'm kind of stuck
on
a bit.
Is there a giant bathtub you can lure it into?
A huge cup and a bit of card.
If only there was a giant bathtub. I've actually had a lot of fun with it, to be fair. There's not been very many puzzly bits, just like, oh, collect these things to put them in these spaces. And I'm like, yeah. But I've been enjoying the story so far. That's pretty cool. So more on this next week.
How much is it?
So I don't think it's very much if you're going to buy it on PC, but I think it's quite a lot if you buy it on the Switch.
Paying Nintendo prices.
Yeah, like I don't know. I guess like I understand it's like developing for a relatively newish.
It's
platform.
Because they can charge that, which I don't. Switch. You know, I'm not necessarily saying that's a bad thing, but they can charge that because indie games on the
market.
Switch are like £12 roughly, right?
So if you want to buy the way on Steam, by the way, it's £10.99.
Oof.
Okay.
On the Switch. Well, this is why I'm here, to play the game
exactly.
Batshit crazy and then let you know how much they are, whether they're worth it. Are they worth it? I have no clue. I'm guessing it's around £15. Who the Jeff knows? Who knows?
Presumably the Nintendo store, but
No, it says purchased, and I'm like, that doesn't give me any information.
Yeah, that does annoy me, actually. When you go to somebody asks, how much is that game that you're really enjoying? You're like, I've got
money.
No fucking idea. It tells me I've already got it.
Maybe I've got the receipt.
Okay, let's not do a deep dive into your personal history. Because that could lead to places.
Onwards to the receipt section!
Sounds kind of... look, I've got to be honest, fucking weird. And I'm off what you have just described. Extraordinarily unlikely to play this game.
Fair.
That's not to say that it's a bad game. I do like pixel art games, actually, because I played what was the one I played in the scary 1349? It's not much more than it is on a PC.
Oh, including VAT, £2.25.
That means that price is already including it. So the... what was it? Oh, the scary game that I played, the pixel art scary game.
I mean, I played loads of pixel art scary games, so
yeah, that probably wasn't
on YouTube.
Yeah, I know which one you're talking about.
It was Lone Survivor.
Lone Survivor.
That was the one. Okay,
that's a good
so
one.
I really enjoyed that, and I thought that was a great game. I mean, there was no spaceships involved, and there was no corpse thieving, which maybe it was worse for that. But I did enjoy it, so I'm not against pixel art games. I think there's a place for them. But when I've got games like Division 2,
£20 more.
Yeah, but it's made out of polygons. That's what I mean.
£20 more is not a lot more for how much more game you get.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
That's kind of my thought. But then if you enjoy that kind of batshit crazy stuff, I think Elle derives quite a lot of entertainment, and forgive me for saying what's in your mind, from stupid, crazy shit, right? L derives a lot of enjoyment from stuff.
And puzzle.
Oh, story. That, yeah, that's not what I was going to say. L derives a lot of enjoyment from knowing full well that she might be one of only three people that have played that game.
Oh, yeah, fair.
And knowing that it's batshit crazy and off the wall and weird, but that's kind of good, right? If that's your niche, you enjoy it. Brilliant.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Okay.
More on this next week.
I'm pretty sure that Elle's just got a labyrinth of cubicles in a, like, under her house of deranged game developers making games
go
across
faster!
To her.
Yeah, and I'm going to say, I haven't seen Reese in a while. Have you?
Yeah,
nope.
Maybe. Faster. But I mean,
I think maybe she's just forcing him to whip out games every now and again. On hallucinogens.
It's
right,
not
look.
Worth it, man. Not for 13 quid.
I would hope that you'd get a free code if your slave was making it.
That I spent on the fucking Nintendo store.
Right, look, we need to find out next week whether this is actually worth it or not. But for now, can we move on? Is that okay?
Yeah, if you want.
If I want, I don't have to.
Thumbs up.
Did you want to know more about that game?
It's enough. Let's go.
To be fair, I'm pretty much decided I wasn't going to play it as soon as we went to
as soon as Elle opened her mouth.
Hey, no. Don't you judge Stardew Valley. Shut your whole mouth.
And actually, that's just come out on Android as well, so we may not see Elle on the next few podcasts. She may be gone forever.
I'm going to be eating bread and just playing that.
Right, look, I'm going to talk about something. Is that okay? Can I talk about my thing?
Yeah, sure.
Well, you don't need to say it like that.
If you must.
Go on, then.
So I got a couple of things, but the one thing I'm going to say... no, that's not true. I'm going to say loads of things.
Talk about the new Beat Saber songs, because they're so fun.
Of the things that I'm going to say, Beat Saber had an update this week. If you don't know what this is, Beat Saber is a VR game in which... It's a rhythm game that is very similar to kind of Guitar Hero, only you've got two lightsabers and blocks come at you, and you have to slicey the blocks in the right directions. And if you've not seen this, you've probably been living under a rock.
It's really
because
easy
it's been all
do.
Over the place. Yeah, it's dead simple.
Have
Ross
you,
has just bossed
I was
it
gonna
out.
Say why are you explaining it? Have like people never heard of Beat Saber?
It's like the
have
premium,
we never spoken about Beat
the
Saber?
Premium VR game. Do you know what? I'm not entirely sure that we have before. I can't remember. But then I can't remember what happened yesterday, so I'm not the greatest person to be speaking to. So look, Beat Saber dropped an update this week, which did two things. Broke all of my mods. three things then. It also added an OST, original soundtrack, season 2 set of songs, which is free if you own the game. I think it's like 5 or 6 songs that get added in. There's also a Monster Cat DLC pack, which is £11, which is quite expensive. But it adds about, I think, like 12 or 13 songs into the game, all made by Monster Cat. Don't really know who Monster Cat are. I know they've done a bunch of songs for Rocket League, and I don't know what the...
They like J-pop.
They're called, like, EDM. Is it EDM? I don't really know what that is.
Electronic dance music?
Yeah.
That's the thing that they do.
It's JEDM.
Is it JD? Okay, whatever they do. They make some shit, right? What they also do is make my arms hurt.
No so, human can possibly move as fast as they expect you to complete that game on.
I bet you that it there are nuts. Quite a few teenagers in
there will be people
who are like
thrashing around all over the place.
I mean, and most teenagers are only like used to making one movement. So.
But like, if you can dual wield, like if you're particularly fortunate and you're adept at dual wielding.
Oh yeah.
There have been some of you played where I physically couldn't keep up with the amount of things that were coming onto the screen at one time. Like, how are you expected to be able to time your hands to hit those?
So have you ever been attacked by a horde of bees? A horde?
Swarm?
Not personally.
Swarm.
No.
Swarm is the right word. Right,
I mean,
so
wasps, but yeah.
So, like, it might behoove you to imagine that that is essentially what was happening to me. And it might look okay, and I understand that it probably did, that I'm fucking awesome, but actually I was in full panic mode, like 100% didn't know what was going on. After you played the game for quite a while, you learn the patterns, the kind of patterns that the notes come in. And like, one key tip if anybody's ever going to play this game: if the last note you did with your right hand was an upward swipe, leave that fucker there. Leave it there, because the next one is going to be a down. What so many people do is that they swipe the note and then they reset their arm to like the middle position, right? And then the next one might be an up, so they have to move the hand down, then up, then back down again to the middle. Don't do that shit. Swipe up the note, leave your arm up, because the next note likely, not always, but likely, is going to be a down or some variety of down or sideways or something like that. Once you've got that, it's kind of okay. But I hit all these songs on Expert Plus, like, straight off the bat. I skipped all the lower difficulties and went straight to Expert Plus, and holy shit, some of these things are nuts.
That's possibly a mistake.
That was amazing.
Questions.
So, no, hang on, Lewis had a question first. Shush.
Yeah. No. To be fair, Elle's had her finger, like...
Sorry, I didn't see the finger. I apologise. Bad teacher. Okay,
so,
go on, Elle.
One, when are you going to combine Dance Revolution with your Beat Saber activities in order to achieve a full body workout?
I'm trying to kill him.
Yeah.
I will chip in for a dance match.
Oh, wait. My next question might be the one that people want to send shekels to.
Okay.
Two. Who do I need to give money to in order to take some recording of you on Beat Saber and Photoshop two cans of Raid in your hands and a swarm of bees?
That went in a far less naked direction than I was expecting it to. The game, right? Look, the game has got so much potential for like meme level shenanigans, okay? Now, I know that somebody has already modded the game to include 14-inch black rubber dildos, and so...
Oh, my God.
There's like a flexible nature to the swords, which completely changes the dynamics of the game, right?
So they
actually bend.
Yeah. Like bending bullets.
They flop, so there's
flexibility.
Flop.
That's amazing.
Which is fantastic, yeah? So there's a whip. There's a whipping action, and I... Look,
so there's jiggle-nomics to
the game.
So
there is so much that they could do to add meme-level stuff to this game. But to be honest, it's kind of taken off in such a way that they don't really need to. It's the thing in VR at the moment, and nothing else has come close to it. So, look, I love it. I think Beat Saber is a really, really fun game. And I think of all the games that you guys have possibly played, with possibly the exception of Alp, because I know you've tried a couple of cool experiences in VR, and maybe Beat Saber isn't your kind of thing. But Ross, you played Beat Saber at EGX, right? And you actually kind of liked it.
Yeah, it was alright, yeah.
Oh, come on, don't downplay it.
It's the kind of VR experience I want. I don't want to be walking around a house looking for clues and that sort of shit. I don't want to play puzzle games in there. I want to be doing something. Like, if I'm going to be doing that, I like rhythm games. Put me in a VR rhythm game.
Yeah.
What I was going to say earlier was, Ross played it and made it look effortless.
He did.
He really did, like, straight
he
away.
He looked like a stoned octopus.
He was one with the music.
So, at one point, there was you, I think it was Ross and Rich side by side, and Ross was just like, at one with nature, and Rich was like,
It's my inner raver.
Yeah. You were just flowing. You were with the Zen. And that, do you know what? That's one of the things with this game, because when you work out...
Just die live on stream.
He's dying. Just have a good die, and then you can come back to us when you finish dying.
Somebody's going to have to dig me up and then put me in a spaceship.
I got my shovel!
I bet that's not the first time you shouted that.
No, that is not, is it? Just hurling it out the window. That'll fuck your sirens. I'm going. This game is really, really good fun. And I've had to play a long time to get kind of this good at it. I've got a funny feeling that if Ross played for probably half the time that I had, he would already be much better at it than I am. It's that kind of game. If you're of the ilk that can pick it up really quickly, then you can get really good at it. But it's just really good fun, and I really enjoy it. There are loads of songs that are available to download from the community, because you can get loads of community-made songs. They're not officially supported by the people that made the game, obviously.
Yes, because they don't license tracks.
No, there are license tracks. The Monster Cat tracks are licensed. They've also got some KDE. They've got a KDA track and another couple of tracks from other people that I can't remember what the names are, that are licensed songs, which is why you've got to pay for the Monster Cat DLC. Yeah. Rather than it being built into the game. You can get tracks downloaded that have been mapped by the community. The problem is that entirely depends on how good the individual that mapped them is at making the notes match the song. And sometimes they're really, really good, and sometimes they are really not. And so there are some community-made tracks that are so off on the notes and the beats and the timing and the tempo and everything that it's just not worth playing them. It can really put people off the game. But having all these extra tracks in the game, having all this like premium content, because the official people that do the mappings for the game are brilliant. It's really, really good fun. And I'm hoping that they're going to bring out more content, more DLC. I'm happy to pay for it. I only paid, I think, like £13 for this game originally, and I put more time into it than any other game I played in VR.
Yeah,
it's the reason why after I sort out my new PC, I will be looking at game VR. So I take umbrage to the
really
fact that like, who are the exceptions?
Oh no, well, there was no umbrage. Well. Because there are loads of horror games and escape room games and creepy games that I thought would be more your kind of thing than Beat Saber. But no, I wasn't alluding to the fact that you wouldn't like Beat Saber.
Maybe
there was other stuff that was... Yeah, I love it. I think it's brilliant.
I'm hoping that it will eradicate my need for a gym membership, because the amount that I've seen people, you know, sweating it out on there, I'm like, yeah.
Lee almost died at Eurogame. We're trying to compete with Rich.
So. Yeah, he was sweating, dressing.
Do you know what, though? Because Lee at one point was just as good as me. And we went to Eurogamer, and I think that was at the point where I was just kind of pulling away from him a little bit because I played it more. And he's, like, ancient. And
he's not ancient.
But then, like, we were next to each other playing on the PlayStation version of this game, which, by the way, is the worst version of this game, in my opinion. And we're thrashing away. And there's this dude who's filmed both of us, but then centered in on Lee and then posted it on the internet going, "Pro Beat Saber, this is the best you're ever going to get." I was like, I was 2 feet away. You know, you didn't need to look far.
Aww.
But yeah, I'm going to get away from Beat Saber now. Really good fun.
I have to admit, I don't know how you guys weren't the Beat Saber celebrities of...
Well, they were.
EGX 2018.
Did you not
because
see...
Because there were...
The IBM people.
Yeah, when at the IBM stand, there was a crowd of people watching. Or, well, they were queuing to play it, but they were watching.
They had to.
But also, when you guys were both playing on the PSVR stand, there was quite a big crowd of people watching.
It's
filming both you guys.
And it's one of the reasons that it's really great. Rich was like Neo. They were like, "Have you seen him play?" And it's like, "Yes, we've been stood here for quite some time."
Oh yeah, when we
can you remember
when we went
that?
When we went over to the IBM stand, and one of the IBM guys came over and was like, "Have you seen this guy play? Like, he smashed all of our high scores yesterday." I was like, "Yeah, I know.
Yeah, he's all right.
You're aware of him.
I've touched him."
I've seen it up close. Oh my god. One of the reasons, I must admit, at this point, one of the reasons that I really want to get really good at the game is if we ever go to another show. So I can really really show off the skills.
Please dress as Neo and be like, your saviour is here.
Oh my god, I can't dress as Neo. I've got a ginger beard. Can you
imagine?
It would
be so funny. It would be so funny.
I would look like this plump, duster, leather jacket wearing motherfucker with a ginger beard. Trying to look. Can you imagine me trying to dodge bullets? Jesus. They need to be firing from 4 miles away.
No, you just need to go full dad mode. Like a polo shirt with all the buttons done up.
Perchino.
I like this.
Cargo shorts pulled up to the belly button.
Up to my nipples. Yeah.
The whitest trainers possible.
The whitest. Yeah. The whitest trainers.
I need to get one of those like outie pouches for my mobile phone.
The fanny packs.
get one of those.
Get a fanny pack.
Yeah, a foam pouch and a bum bag. Socks and sandals.
And a chain for my glasses.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
And then out Beat Saber. Although I do feel like that maybe that's a lot of accessories that would be flapping around that could potentially get in the way. We've got to think about this logically. Look, that is the premium thing that I played this week. I have also played Division 2 this week. I played Apex as well. I've also played Division 2. I've not played loads and loads of Division 2, but I have played it. I've got to be honest, at this point in my life, I am more excited about the updates to Beat Saber than I am about Division 2. But Division 2 is so goddamn good. But I've spoken loads about stuff and things. Does anybody else want to say anything else about any games that they played this week? No. Ross.
I can talk about Football Manager again if you want.
No.
He's played NBA.
Nobody wants that. NBA, that's a different ball shape. No, it's the same ball shape.
Is it
bigger?
It's bigger and oranger.
I'm all right with it being oranger, but I wouldn't have known that it was bigger. look, do you want to talk about it?
Nah, it's fine.
All right, yeah, fuck you.
I mean, to be fair, we've been talking about it since... When did we start this podcast?
2013?
Yeah, something like that. I'm going to very briefly touch on Division 2 in a weird and inappropriate way. The game's come out. We talked about it when it was in beta. It was a good game when it was in beta. It's a good game now it's come out. I enjoyed it in beta, but I enjoyed the first game, and I was a massive fan of the first game. Playing the new one, I must...
Addendum. You were a massive fan of the first game after the 1.6 patches.
After a lot of patching. It took a lot of patching. Now, it feels like they've learned a lot of lessons in this second one. It feels like it's basically the first game after patch 1.4, ready to go. The only thing I will say is I am getting crashed to desktop a lot. And I'm getting no error message. I'm getting nothing. It's literally just closing the whole game
and
straight
machine,
to desktop. Yeah, and other people are getting this on Apex, but I'm not. So it's
almost like you need a console to play it.
Don't even. No. We're not.
I mean,
no.
So Ross, have you had any issues with Apex Legends? Like audio issues with Apex Legends.
Nothing.
No?
I wish I had more tea to pour, but alas, my tea is empty. This tea will have to sustain me.
Are we done? Oh, he's sipping with his finger out as well. Jesus Christ. Okay, look. This may very well be a PC environment kind of problem. I'm up here. Look, I am getting crashed to desktop.
Master race, like the EDL, the master race.
Great, thanks for that comparison. Jesus, I don't feel like I deserve that. Did you, El?
I don't feel like I deserve that at all. But
she's got a Switch now.
I do have a Switch.
I've got a Switch
and a PlayStation 4.
I don't have one of those.
I wouldn't admit to that.
I like the PlayStation.
So
it's
look,
a very good media console. I watch YouTube on it all of the time. Thank you very much. It does a very good job at that.
So, look, Division 2. I can't really tell you much more than what I played in the demo, because the state of the game that I'm at, the part of the game that I'm at the moment is the same as it was in the beta. What I will say is it's fucking gorgeous. It really is. Every time I go to play this game, my first thought is, the clutter that they put into this game, with it still running beautifully, is just... I really, really like it. A post-apocalyptic game, which is kind of what this is. It's not really an apocalypse, but there's been this virus that's wiped everybody out, or a lot of people out, and the cities are kind of going back to nature. So everything's neglected, the plant life of flora and fauna are coming back up out of the ground and taking everything over. Everywhere is a shit tip. Like, the street sweepers have not been out for a really long time.
Is that
and
what
it
kind of
looks
the definition
brilliant.
Of... definition of a like post-apocalypse.
The street cleaners will still be here.
Mm-hmm. No, because I think from a, like, it was a union issue. Hell, you know, and they weren't getting paid enough. Oh, I don't know what exactly the mechanism behind them not sweeping the streets any longer, but it's the level of clutter and the kind of the environments are so richly detailed. With everything, it's not just they've put down a street and gone, there's a couple of crash cars and fucking there you go. If you look around, if you properly take time to look around, the individual windowsills of buildings have got chips and cracks, and there's like a couple of places where moss and grass has started growing up the side of the building, and one place where somebody had a window box that has now grown out of control, and the plants are starting to grow up the side of the building. So it's just the level of detail. I loved it in the first game. It is even greater in the second game. The downside to this is when you're playing with other people, you feel this kind of burden of speed.
Keep moving,
where you have to keep the pace because you don't want to feel like you're the person that's slowing everybody else down. So you keep moving, you keep playing the next mission, you keep doing the next thing. And then you don't really get the time to stop and appreciate the level of craftsmanship that's gone into making this incredible world. But when you do get chance to stop, when you do get chance to look around and really appreciate what's going on, the level design, the art design and the directorship that's gone into this game is absolutely amazing, and I love it. It's so immersive, really well crafted, really well done. The game engine is excellent, but I would love it if I didn't crash to desktop. That would be fantastic. If they could fix that, then okay, everything would be great.
If you play the game, it would be a good game.
Yeah, exactly. It's like I've only had probably 3 hours in the game so far, which is not that great because it came out on Friday, and but Beat Saber came out, so you know what? Fuck it.
Priorities.
3 hours in the game, I've had probably 4 crash to desktop, so more than 1 hour, which is not great. I will say that every time it's happened, I've not lost a thing. It's not like there's been a mini rollback or I've lost some loot that I picked up or something like that. I haven't yet gone back to the point where I've like already completed the mission, but it's bounced me back to not having completed that mission or something. So it's not the end of the world. It's just a bit frustrating, especially when you're in a party and then they've got to wait for you.
Yeah.
But really enjoying it. I think it's a fantastic game in all the important ways so far. The end game is going to be what cuts it because I think it's like level 30 is the max level. That was what it was on the first game. And so you will get there quite quickly, and then a massive amount of the rest of the game and the entertainment that you get out of it is the end game content. And the first game brought out loads of DLC that they tried to kind of enhance the different ways that you could play the end game, and there was a lot of misses. there was not as many hits as I think that they were probably shooting for. But in this one, the expansions are free for everybody, which is going to be interesting. Okay. In the first game, you had to buy the expansion pass or the gold edition or whatever it was. In this one, everybody gets the all of the content that comes out. And if you bought the gold edition or whatever, the ultimate edition, I think there was a gold and an ultimate, which were like £100. £100,
yeah, so
and you don't get the season pass.
So on the Xbox, there's the gold deluxe and the dark zone edition.
Yep.
So I think the only difference is you get... Well, I don't know what the gold edition is, but the Dark Zone edition, you get a physical, like,
yeah,
model
thing. That's like the ultimate edition,
someone.
I think. Yeah.
Yeah. But I don't know what's in the other one.
The gold edition.
I don't know what additional DLC you get with it.
So the gold edition, as far as I'm aware, and I'm probably wrong here, but as far as I'm aware, you get 3 days early access into the game. Now, I know people that bought the gold edition specifically so that they could get into the game 3 days before everybody else because they wanted to be a higher level in the Dark Zone when everybody else joined the game so that they could beat everybody in the Dark Zone. And I'm like, seriously?
Scum.
Do you know what? And do you know what? Yes. Nath, if you're listening to this, you are scum. And I've known you for the better part of 9 years, but I'm sticking by that statement. And I don't get it, because they paid £40 more for the game than I did. In fact, actually, a little bit more. And they got in 3 days early, and they get some in-game digital DLC, and that's all they get. And they were more than happy with that. It's not worth it. There are people that are going to play this game that are just going to do nothing else, right? You always get the kids that don't have a job, or the adults that don't have a job, or the adults that do have a job and should know better and should be doing the job, that spend an awful lot of time in the game and doing absolutely nothing else. Yeah. And they're going to catch up. That 3 day head start that you paid £40 for is going to be gone within a couple of days. They're going to catch up with you. So why would you do that? So you're going to get some in-game DLC, and do you know what, you ask them what the in-game DLC is going to be, they don't know, because it's not been 100% released yet. Nobody knows what's actually going to come out.
Chances are it's just going to be aesthetic, or it's going to be weapons.
Yeah, here's a gun skin for you.
If it's anything like Rainbow Six Siege, it's going to be aesthetic, but who knows. So yeah. I hope they do get something. If they've spent £40 for the game, like a £40 premium, I don't begrudge them getting something cool extra, you know, but...
I don't know, man. Like, saying that about Rainbow Six, the additional operators in the Rainbow Six DLC were actually pretty good.
Yeah, they were. And they did change the game quite a lot as well.
Yes.
Yeah.
So it changed how matches would go with the additional operators.
So, you know what, I wouldn't be against, and if we're going to kind of play it in the same way, what I think would work well with The Division is, one of the biggest things with The Division is you get skills. So you'll get, like, a drone that you throw down, like a, I don't know what you call it, an auto-firing turret. Drone. Turret drone, that's turret. Exactly the word. A turret, or you get a seeker mine, or you get a an actual drone, like a flying drone-y thingy. There's a bunch of skills, right? I wouldn't be against the idea that you could earn some kind of in-game currency or Uplay points or whatever it happens to be, and you unlock special ones that are locked, right? But if you bought the gold edition, you get those straight away. They're not necessarily game-changing or game-breaking. Bear in mind that there is a PvP element to the game, but the majority of it's co-op. You get all of those unlocked by default if you're gold, or you have to pay in-game currency to get them if you're not gold. Look, I'm going to play a lot more Division. We're going to talk about it a lot more, or I'm going to talk about it a bit more, at least. It depends if people allow me to do it or not. Look, that's it. I think that's pretty... No, stop shaking your head, Ross. This is one of the symptoms of having this video chat thing going on. I can tell we're all disparaging me. Stop it. Right. I think we're done. Look, has anybody got anything else they want to talk about this week before we sign off and call it a day on this podcast?
Yes. We asked a question.
Oh, we did ask
two responses,
We must all have our own responses.
Yes.
Well, we do have responses. Have we got time to put this through, Ross?
Yeah, go on.
Elle, since you mentioned it, what was the question that we asked this week?
So we asked, and I don't have my thing on me, so I could be wrong. What beloved game series have we not bought into? What's passed us by? What don't we jam with? That was what I got.
And that was for a question for us, but also a question for the community. And we didn't actually put it out there as early as we did with the previous question that we asked, because normally we ask a question, then it's roughly 3 months before we actually do a podcast. There's plenty of time for people to answer.
Squirrel it away. Like a good
I'm pretty sure we still got answers from a question we asked over a year ago. So
I still got those answers squirreled away. I'm excited. Maybe we'll talk about them someday.
Do we want to start with this, or do we want to start with the answers that we got from the community?
I've got the community ones up now. Do you want to do those quick?
Okay, I'm not sure they're really... Well, one of them, Sarah.
Just our friends.
She is community. The other one,
yeah, she is community. And the other one's Lee.
Okay, he doesn't count.
Oh, yeah, leave them swapped. Saltar as well.
One in as well. Okay, go on. Now, here's what they said.
Okay, so Saltar said literally anything Japanese inspired. So Final Fantasy, Yakuza, also Metal Gear Solid, anything Mario. He played Jet Set Willy and Manic Miner. He doesn't need a new console to play them all over again. So, yeah.
Wow,
not a fan of the Eastern games.
Oh, no.
It seems.
Oh.
Sarah said.
You're missing out on a few games there, though. Because I kind of get it for one franchise. Like, I get if you don't like Final Fantasy.
Yeah.
That you don't want to play Final Fantasy games. But there's quite a few Eastern-style games that they're well different.
Yeah.
They don't all play the same.
For example. Awesome.
Yeah.
Miss Note.
Dynasty Warriors. Get involved in that.
Oh,
Sarah said Kingdom Hearts. She played the first one. Couldn't beat Ursula. Snapped her disc in half and vowed never to play the game again.
Snapped her disc in half.
Fair.
Oh, my God.
That fits with character.
Yeah, I've got to be honest.
I was going to say, if you'd met Sarah, that would totally go in line with her character.
Hey to Master of Pigeons, who's just...
Oh my god, that's an amazing username!
And hi to Hylian Ryan as well, who said hi a little while ago.
I think that's Ryan Goodman.
Master of
really? Okay.
Hey, Ryan. Anyway, Lee did respond, but it's in our group chat and I've lost it now, so...
Okay, well...
Lee, you're watching the stream, just put it in our chat.
Lee, I think Lee's one is Final Fantasy. I think that's what Lee's was.
Oh, yeah. It was,
he was whinging about Final Fantasy.
Yeah.
Which he's absolutely wrong about, but...
Dead wrong.
Do you know what? Do you know what? I kind of almost partially agree with that, but I have played a few Final Fantasy games all the way through.
Lies.
I can't say,
Final Fantasy
I can't 7. Say
come on.
That I'm not bothered. I played 7, 8, 7. 9, and 10. Now, I didn't really love every single one of them, but I have played them. So it's not a franchise that I've not bothered with by any stretch. So, okay.
He hated it when it was turn-based. Those were the best days.
So, yeah, Lee said, for the record, my gaming franchise I didn't get on with Final Fantasy. Hated it when it was turn-based, and then when they tried to make it real-time at later iterations, I tried 15 on mobile and hated it just as much. It was like one big cutscene.
Oh, Lee.
Yeah.
So I played 15 on the console, and I probably spent 40-ish hours on it, and I would easily spend another 40 hours on it. Mm. Just going back and doing all the extra side quests and all the extra gubbins.
And I played the MMO a bunch as well, so both MMOs, in fact. So
I like the turn-based ones. I've never played that.
Yeah, I'm into turn-based, majorly.
I've never played I think I played one of the CTB ones, and technically both of the MMOs were CTB, so yeah, basically the same thing.
There's
a good...
Ryan has just dropped one in the chat, actually.
Oh, thanks, Ryan.
Ryan's just dropped one in. His would have to be Elder Scrolls. He's always struggled to get into them.
Oh,
do you know, I can see why...
There's a lot of lore behind that.
There is a lot of lore. Yeah. There's so many books! Go read the books!
Do you know, I kind of get it, but I love the Elder Scrolls games.
Yeah. Wait. Hang on, let me just check. Am I bottom right?
You are bottom right, Lewis, yes.
Yeah.
You are
bottom
right.
Yeah.
Yes.
Master of Pigeons has just asked his bottom right of Viking.
Yeah. I'm getting there.
He's on his way.
Is it? To be fair, there's a lot worse things to be.
I just need a drinking horn.
Oh my god!
I'm disappointed
do
you don't have one already. You must have it. Have you not at least got
Mate,
a pewter mug?
No, I do have a stein, a 2-point stein.
That's a good start.
Not well
known for their glassware though.
Oh, you need to get the hat.
The horn hat.
Yeah.
It's a fashion thing.
Right, what was your game you'd ever got on with?
I need to go around other people so I can think about it.
Okay. Mine was Half-Life.
Since you decided to pipe up, Half-Life?
Yeah.
No. Was it really?
Yeah. Didn't get it. Didn't understand. Still don't understand the love of this game. It's like a really bad first-person shooter.
No, it's not. No, it's not. It's not.
I thought she was about to cry.
No, it's not. No. But you're wrong, Ross. Why is
Do you know
it
what?
Bad?
No,
don't you give him credence?
Right. So I played Half-Life and is it Blue Shift?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And one of the other versions.
Was it Opposing Forces?
Yeah, where you played the. So there was the base game, the one where you played as one of the
Gordon
cops.
Freeman. All right, so you play as Gordon Freeman, then you play as Benny, who is like the security guard. Benny?
Yeah.
I think it's Benny. And then you play as Shepard, who is one of the military guys that was sent in to basically get Gordon Freeman. So those were all mods for the first game, for Half-Life 1.
So, well, I had a multi-pack of Half-Life, Blue Shift, and Opposing Force, and I didn't like any of them.
Okay.
They feel like PC first-person shooters to me.
No, that's not entirely true. I enjoyed them when I played them, but I couldn't go back and play them now.
Okay, no, I agree with that, because I couldn't go back and play them now either.
Oh,
and I couldn't play Black Mesa either, which is the...
So I haven't tried Black Mesa. Yeah, that's the remake. That's the fan-made remake of the game. Look, I haven't tried to go back to them. I played Half-Life and Blue Shift, and I think it was called Opposing Force or Opposing Forces. I can't remember. I played all of those. And I played Half-Life 3 probably 2 or 3 times. I played both of the expansions a couple of times as well. I loved them. I thought they were absolutely amazing. Considering what was available in terms of first-person shooters at the time, the difference with this game was enormous. Half-Life was the first game I'd ever played, and I'm not saying it's the first game that had it, but the first game that I ever played that had mouth synchronization to the in-game dialogue. Couldn't believe it. It blew my tiny fucking mind. It was fantastic, and it was also a first-person shooter. Sorry, Al, I'll get to you in 1 second.
Yeah, that's okay.
It was also the first-person shooter, I think, that I played that actually had a story. If you're talking Doom, Quake, Wolfenstein, these kind of games, they didn't have a story. They were like, you're here, they're bad, shoot face. And that was pretty much all you had, right? To the point where at least one of them was just like, we can't really explain why they're bad, but they're Nazis, so just kind of derive what you need from that.
Okay, so what was the story?
For Half-Life?
Quickly. Yeah.
For the first one, you're a scientist who accidentally opens a portal to an alternate dimension, shit starts coming through, everybody starts dying.
But from there, what's the rest of the story?
For the first game, you're trying to survive.
So, and see bad things, shoot face.
Yeah, yeah, all right, and do you know what? I'll give you that. But yeah, it is kind of that. But you're trying to escape from the facility. There is a reason for it, and there are other NPCs who are talking to you, and there is dialogue, there is story, there is interaction. It's not just always shoot face. I kind of get what you mean, but it did make a difference, definitely at the time. And we're talking a long time ago now as well. Yeah.
I spent 10 minutes running around with a crowbar and thought, nah, I'm not hung out with this.
I think maybe you needed a gun.
Yeah, that would have helped in the first person shooter.
I have two words.
Slapper.
Okay. Gnome in space.
Did you do it? Did you do it? Because I did.
I might have. But to be fair, I obviously must have done something or spent some considerable amount of time for me to latch onto this as a concept. But it is a game where you could put a garden gnome in space.
It is, yeah.
So I'm fucking sold, and I will defend it to my last
this,
breath.
If people don't know what this is, there was a kind of in-game challenge with Half-Life 2. Where really early on in the game, there was a garden gnome, right? You found a garden gnome.
Yeah.
And if you could play the entire of the game using the gravity gun to carry this garden gnome through the entire game with you, and eventually put it in this spacecraft and send it off into space, you got an achievement. It was the only way to get this achievement, and it was probably somewhere in the region of around 10 hours worth of gameplay looking at this garden gnome that was right in front of your screen, taking up probably 60% of your available screen real estate in order to complete this challenge. I did it. I'm really proud of myself for doing it. Half-Life 2, I thought, was an incredible game. I played Half-Life 2 Episode 1. And episode 2 as well. I was so disappointed they never brought out an episode 3, or indeed a sequel for the damn game. But I loved it. I thought it was fantastic.
Yeah.
Look, we've had another person in the chat ask a question about a game series. Can we jump to this very quickly?
Yeah, sure.
Master of Pigeons has said, thoughts about the Batman Arkham game series? Now, this
One and two were good.
Yep.
Three was terrible. Four was alright, but a bit trivial.
Yeah. I think trivial is the best word to use for that game, if I'm being perfectly honest. I never really understood the point of it. I did play it, and it was just kind of... And it was broken on PC. That was one of the biggest problems with it. It was hugely, hugely broken on PC, and I got to it very, very late after they'd fixed it, which was a long time.
It
should have ended with Arkham City. That was the peak.
Arkham City was fantastic. And then they did Arkham Origins. Is that the right one?
Yeah, that was handed off to a different developer.
Where mysteriously, it was a prequel to the previous games, yet somehow you had shit that didn't exist in the other games. So you had, like, bat goop and bat stuff. I don't know. Like bat stuff juice. That had bat in front of it. Bat juice? I don't know.
bat juice.
Yeah, you had bat juice and bat... smell.
How does one get bat juice?
You extract it from bats, Lewis.
You milk a Batman.
you get one of those lemon squeezers.
You don't even milk a bat, you milk a Batman.
He might enjoy that, you know? If it was poison ivy, you might let her.
It suits the nipples on.
So, yeah, anyway, I like the Batman. I like the Batman games until...
Enough to milk him, apparently.
Tweak the bat nipples.
I feel like possibly we're going off-piste slightly here. L. The gaming franchise that you've never been bothered with, either because you played it and it was balls,
you
and never went
know.
Back, or because you were just.
She's going to say Call of Duty.
She's going to say
GTA.
Call of Duty.
You all know that there's this long-standing. I can't.
Do you know what? I would love to issue a challenge to you to play the Call of Duty.
I played like
Modern Warfare 1, 2, and 3. That's not enough.
Play Black Ops 3. It's only online.
I play games to escape life, you know?
Okay.
That's what I want to do.
Shooting people.
I come home.
Are you a fucking specialist military person? Like, in real life?
We agreed that we weren't going to challenge her on this, right?
Look.
Because if it turns out she is, we're all in trouble.
No.
If it turns out she was redacting this side of her life for the entire time that we've known her, I'm not sure that I want to be the one to out it.
No, but let's be honest. Like, a lot of us use media to escape life, whether it be in some small way or another. Books, films, whatever. I do not want to spend my precious time escaping life fucking around with 15-year-old kids who don't quite have that grasp of the English language yet. And I just don't care. Like, well, I do kind of care, because if they're like being really necky, I'm just like, you know, I just want to find you. And when I do find you, I just want to fucking slap you and give you the discipline that your parents obviously do not provide you in order to understand what it's like to actually interact with another human being in a positive and meaningful way.
So I know that there's a level of ire and wrath here that I'm probably never going to be able to cut through. However, a massive amount of Call of Duty and a massive amount of the community around Call of Duty is multiplayer, yeah? And it is about 12-year-olds shooting other 12-year-olds and calling each other Jews. That is just what the game is. Yeah. However, Call of Duty Modern Warfare, so forget about Black Ops, but Call of Duty Modern Warfare and Modern Warfare 2 and Modern Warfare 3 had a campaign, and they were, in my opinion, a really, really strong story-driven campaign.
Yeah.
And they also had co-op. As of Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2, there was also a co-op mode that was kind of special. It was called Spec Ops, and it was two people, and you had to complete a particular story-driven scenario. You take the multiplayer away from the games, which you can't do with the latest iteration because it is only multiplayer, but you take the multiplayer away from the games, specifically Modern Warfare 1, 2, and 3, and there is story there. And it was, in my opinion, really well done. Granted, really well done for a shooter, for a military shooter, but I engaged with the characters, I enjoyed it. There were people that died, like people that you got to know within the game that died. The voice acting was excellent. The challenger level was just enough. I enjoyed them. I thought they were really, really entertaining. The Black Ops side of things is a different thing, because I've always felt that they were made for the multiplayer and not for the story. But the Modern Warfare games, I've got to be honest, I think you're wrong. I think if you could play them and you still might not enjoy them. They still might not be your kind of thing.
This is the thing where I'm like, I know that I won't enjoy it. I know that even if it does have a very well put together story, it's not a subject matter that I enjoy. Like, that is life, you know?
Yeah. People, war and,
having a family that is predominantly based in military positions, I'm quite familiar with said environs and what they do to people, and it's not something that I wish to glorify. It's not escapism for me, you know. Those are lives that I do not want to live.
That makes complete sense.
You know,
it's a proper escape. It's possibly a little bit too close to home. Is that about right?
That's not escaping. That's not spending my time doing something that I would enjoy. That's like, hey, do you wanna do some like real life stuff, which is really horrible? And it's like, yeah, sure, let's go make some people. That's enjoyable, right?
Not really. All right, look, I'll give you that. I'll accept it, but I will stand by my stance that those games, I loved them. I thought they were great. The campaign, really, really entertaining. But look, you know what? Completely agree with you. Your reasons there, totally justified. If you needed my validation, which I am aware that you don't.
I am happy
to give it. Right, Lewis, have you got a game franchise that you would be happy to forego forever?
a list.
A list. Have you got
Sick.
One?
Let's go.
Zelda.
Really?
Ooh.
Shit.
No.
Ooh, that's...
What? What is happening?
Let the wrath fall. Lay it down.
Zelda, it's awful.
It's not, though.
What it is, though.
I feel like you guys are disassembling my...
Yes!
My favourite franchise.
Hang on. So, is also a great...
Yes, in the chat.
What didn't you like
Master
about
of Pigeons. It's just boring.
Okay.
And the characters are gash.
I think we've been over this podcast before. You missed the boat early on, didn't you, with Zelda?
Yeah, so, like, I think I tried to play... Oh, God.
It was the DS one, wasn't it, I think.
Yeah, there was one before that. It was like one of the early, earlier Zelda games, like the like A Link Between Worlds or something like that.
Yeah,
And I didn't get on with it. And then I played Ocarina of Time. Yeah, I tried to play Ocarina of Time. No, Ocarina of Time.
Yeah, the 3DS
Majora's
one.
Majora's Mask. Well, whichever one was on the 3DS.
Yeah,
And I just didn't enjoy it. I didn't think it was a particularly good game.
The Ocarina of Time was very much of its time. I mean, at the time, it was amazing. If you were into Zelda games, and when it came out, you played it when it came out, then brilliant. It was fantastic. I've never played the remaster.
You don't have to sell it to me.
No. I'm not trying to. But
like,
I kind of agree that now, if you tried to play it now or within the last like couple of 3 years, it probably doesn't stand up to much. I love Zelda. I think it's
fantastic. I've watched people play Breath of the Wild. I've watched people play... What was the one on the Wii U?
I never remember this one. Was it Twilight Princess? Oh, the cartoon one? Wind Waker?
Wind Waker. Yeah, okay. I've watched people play Wind Waker. I've watched people play Breath of the Wild. And I just don't enjoy them. Like, they don't look like good games to me.
Master of Pigeons has said Viking. Are you thinking about Phantom Hourglass? He's called Lewis, but I think he's all right with being called Viking. I've got to be honest.
Yeah.
He's okay with that.
I'm pretty sure I might just adopt that.
Yeah, but, just call him Lagatha.
Oh, my life belongs with her. What, babe?
At least go Ragnar.
Yeah, Ragnar's fine.
Look, let's be honest. He's a bit of a twat. Lagatha's way better.
I'll be alright with being Lagatha, I've got to be honest. Do you know what? I do kind of get it. I get all of these.
To be fair, Rollo was sexy.
I'd go for Rollo. Look, right. Zelda, I get it. I do get the reasons why you wouldn't get into it. They are slow games, and there's a pacing to them that I think you've got. And there's an awful lot of dialogue as well, because it's all, or previously, it's all been written. It's all written dialogue. There's not been any voicing. Yeah. Very similar to Final Fantasy. You've got to read absolutely everything.
Yeah.
Final Fantasy 7 and 8.
Yeah.
There you go. It's weird. Different games with different people.
And it was all reading.
Yeah.
I guess it's whatever grips you at the time.
Yeah.
And depending on what you've played as a kid, like, that nostalgia is such a big
I think that has
tint.
Got a big thing to do with it.
Yeah. And I'm sure I've probably mentioned this in the past, but, like, the thing for me was I started with NES and then moved on to PlayStation 1.
Yeah.
So that's a big jump.
I skipped a shitload of the Mario games. Yeah. So, absolutely... To be honest, no interest in Mario games.
But there was a big kind of renaissance in the SNES generation or the Mega Drive generation that possibly you skipped straight over and went all the way up to PlayStation. And a lot of games nowadays a lot of games have been derived from those ones that were on the SNES or on the Mega Drive. And if you miss those entirely, then I completely get it. Ross, have we spoken about your one that you would completely forgo?
Yeah.
We did speak about yours. I need to go with mine then. It's just mine. Yours? And you know what? I really don't know. I'm terrible. Because
come on,
there's
something you hate.
Because you like everything?
Dig deep.
It's not that I like everything. So we're talking about stuff that I've just forgotten. I'm not bothered with it at all. I've tried everything. You know, I'm happy to kind of play almost any genre or any type of game. And if I was to say it was one particular type of game, it would probably be racing games. So I would say So there's two, and the one that I'm going to settle on is going to be a completely different one. But racing games were, I just never got into them. But then recently we played Forza Horizon, and I was massively into that. I think that's an amazing game franchise, and I really enjoyed it. So what I'm instead going to do is say FIFA. I am in no way bothered or interested or in... every single time a new FIFA game comes out, I am immediately disinterested. I am not bothered. I am not interested. And I know this is possibly the go-to for an awful lot of people who have played games for a long time. But my immediate reaction is, this is the same fucking thing. This is the same game that you've been bringing out, not only for the last 3 years, but for the last fucking 15 years. Okay, why would I be interested?
But what do you expect? It's football.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah.
Now, no. Because
what do you want? A multi ball?
I would like a pinball element.
A deathmatch mode.
Release the giant hamsters.
So, right, look. There is a caveat to this, right? So, Pro Evo. I've played Pro Evo with my friends, yeah? And I've bought Pro Evo games, even recently ish. And we played them all. Yeah, and we played them all. Last time I had an Xbox. Which was probably four or five years ago. Yeah, so... but I bought Pro Evo games and we played them. We had game nights where people came over and we all played Pro Evo because it felt like an arcade game. It felt like an arcade football game that was entertaining to play and was enjoyable for everybody to get in on. FIFA games never felt like that. They have never felt like that. They felt like they're trying to be football simulators. You cannot simulate football on a console or on a PC or anything. It just doesn't translate, in my opinion. Yeah. Especially when
you slept on the wet pitch.
When your target is not entertainment, when your target is not fun gameplay, when your target is something else, and I've never really understood what it is FIFA is trying to be other than a football simulator.
Like Master Pro Evo says in the chat, FIFA right now is a money grab. It's all about Ultimate Team.
That's exactly what it is. It's always felt like. Whereas Pro Evo for me felt like it was a game that was at least trying to be fun to play. And I've got nothing against football. I completely understand why people enjoy the sport. And I completely understand why people enjoy following it and playing stuff around it. And if you enjoy FIFA, then great, more power to you. But for me, Pro Evo was an entertaining game that I could get on board with. And FIFA never was. It felt sluggish and dull and like it was trying to be something that I didn't think it really understood what it was trying to pander to, but it wasn't me.
But you could say the same about racing games.
So yes.
For me, racing simulators were just boring. Like the Forza Motorsport series.
Yeah, not interesting.
Very boring.
Yeah.
Forza Horizon is the arcade
more of an arcade game,
version.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is
yeah.
why I preferred games like Need for Speed, Underground, and like those sorts of games when I was growing up because sensible soccer.
That's Lee, isn't he?
To be fair, sensible soccer was rocking. All right, look, we've had a few people. Loads of people are talking in the chat right now, which is absolutely great. Thank you very much to everybody who's watching us on Twitch right now. Please, if you haven't subscribed to us yet on Twitch, I'm putting out the requisite shout out, the call to action to get people to subscribe to us.
The only person that isn't subscribed to us is possibly Master of Pigeons.
I reckon
he should, just to see more Viking.
More Viking. 100% yeah. Viking all the time.
More Viking for your subs.
To be fair, we have... I don't know where I am on the screen. Where am I on the screen?
You're top right.
Okay.
Top right.
So I'm guessing...
Lewis is below you.
These two... these two have the prerequisite beard to be Viking-esque.
Sorry.
But it's okay.
And do you know what? I'm okay with that. I'm like some Simon Pegg-looking motherfucker.
Simon Pegg's a nice man, so...
No. All right, hang on. So, when we say subscribe, like, not, like...
Oh, no, we don't mean give us
just,
money.
No money, just follow us.
We mean follow. Don't give us money. Good grief, that's a bad idea. That's like, don't. You know that guy on the street that gives you this really weird story about why should give him £2.50? So, in this situation, that's us. Don't give us actual money.
So... I missed my bus home and I need exactly. to get, yeah. I need 20p.
That's not us.
Just follow keep us listening. That's all we want.
Just follow us. And look, do you know what? We're doing loads of streams at the moment. We've got loads of different things going on. We've got VR, which I've picked up again today, doing mixed reality VR in Beat Saber. And we've been playing puzzle games, both in VR and non-VR. We've been playing Apex Legends. Ross has been streaming sports ball games and other stuff that you streamed the other week. Me and Lewis were streaming TikTok the other day, loads of different things, as well as we are now streaming all of our podcasts live as well, which is something that I think we're basically definitely going to do every single time we do one of these, right?
Yep.
It's great to interact with everybody. Palpitation thing going on. Ross, you can't do that properly because I'm taking over most of your face.
Look, do you do that?
That is...
Oh,
there you go. Oh, that was right on your nose. Look, I think we've basically spoken far too long. I've definitely spoken far too long.
Training yes.
About absolutely... What,
no,
don't
horror
agree
games.
With that.
That's,
okay.
That's
what
we're
going to
go on Tuesdays.
We're going to do everything. We'll do all the streams, all the stuff. Look... Thank you very much to everybody who's been involved in the stream. It's been great. We've got a whole bunch of people watching live right now, which is absolutely fantastic. Please make sure that you follow. We are going to be putting this podcast out on Acast, which you are going to be able to find on Acast and also on iTunes and on Spotify, I think, and on Plex and on basically anywhere that you can find a podcast, this audio version of this, without all of our fantastic, gorgeous faces and extra Viking, will be available for you to listen to with your ear holes. So please do subscribe to us on whatever podcast format you decide to listen to. Thank you for listening. I have been Rich. You can find me at Zebwen, that's Zebwen on Twitter. You can find all of us at ReadyP2 on Twitter. If you go to us on Twitter at ReadyP2, you will find a pinned tweet with all of the other places that you can find us on the internet, including Facebook, including our website, including everywhere else. You obviously already know that we're on Twitch because we're here right now. Ross, where can people find you?
Rossbout 1984.
Elle, where can people find you?
At Escaping IRL.
And Lewis, where can people find you?
At Louis_Kong.
Thank you very much for watching and or listening. This has been Ready Player 2, episode 80...
8.
Thank you. From me and everybody else here, thank you for watching and listening. This has been Ready Player 2, episode 88. Good night.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.